Joining us now is Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, you were out at the NHL GM meetings, and it seemed like the same repeat offenders on the docket, rule changes, a potential salary cap increase. What were some of your biggest takeaways from the GM meetings this past week?
Well, first of all, Kellen, I'm just imagining you guys all chowing down on that food you're talking about there, so I'm kind of distracted as I start this
guilty.
Interview.
Yes. Elliot, I'm doing my game prep for the game between the Predators and the Kraken. There is a little barbecue sauce on my chart for tonight, just for the record.
I was going to say, like, you're going to mislabel a player tonight because the sauce is going to be all over your line chart. I totally understand how that happens. You know, Carolyn, I think that the one thing, and you saw it in one of your games after, I think one of the things that's coming out of this is the fighting after the clean hits. And then you guys played Winnipeg right after the GM meetings, and Brendan Dillon delivered a big hit, and I can't remember who he hit.
Evangelista.
It's Evangelista, and Cal Foote went to fight him, and Foote got the instigator, right?
Correct.
And that's not a rule change, but it's something we're seeing more of. Like, there have been situations now where there's been an altercation after a clean hit, and the team that starts the fight either gets a penalty, an extra penalty, so the team that delivered the clean hit gets the power play, or in that particular case, Foote got the instigator. I actually think, while I agree with you for the most part, Carolyn, it was a lot of stuff we heard before. I think there has been some action that came out of this meeting, and that's the particular item.
Elliot Freeman is with us, Sportsnet. What do you see from the instigator rule and the no fighting after clean hits? What do you see coming to fruition, and what kind of advancements have the NHL GMs made with that rule?
Well, I think, like, I'm not against fighting. I think there are some people who are against it. I'm not. Like, there's a big story up here right now, Carolyn, that one of the junior leagues, we have three major junior leagues in Canada. We've got the Western League, which is Manitoba, over to BC in the state of Washington. They're there. We've got the Ontario League, which also includes some teams in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And we've got the Quebec League, which includes the Atlantic provinces. And, the Quebec League right now, during COVID, when their league was shut down, they asked the provincial government for some money to save the 12 teams that were based in Quebec. And the provincial government said, we'll do it, but you have to eliminate fighting in your league. And so sometimes you have the leverage to make a deal, and sometimes you don't. And they needed the money, so they took the deal. So right now, they haven't announced how they're going to do it yet. They're still working on it. But they're going to eliminate fighting, or put more severe penalties for fighting in the Quebec League. And that's led to a big debate on, you know, where we're going here. I think the Ontario League will consider it on some level. I don't think the Western League will. I don't have a problem with it at that level. These are kids for the most part. I don't really have an issue with this, but I don't know if I like it at the NHL level. Like, right now, fighting in the NHL is generally too willing participants, and that's the way, if it's going to happen, it should happen organically. That's the way I support it. So I'm not anti-fighting where men are involved. I just think in this particular situation, Carolyn, what they strongly feel is you shouldn't have to fight if you've made a clean play, because hitting and big hitting should be part of the game. And generally, I agree with that.
Now, Elliot, with that being said, because you see across all sports, things change with generations. At, you know, football and things that were done in the 80s and the 90s as far as being physical and hitting guys and defenses, receivers and all that. It's changed. Why? Because a lot of it started implementing this a lot at a younger age. So when they do get to college and then ultimately, you know, to the NFL or the NBA or the MLB, they're so accustomed to the rule change that they're not even looking to go that direction. So when we're talking NHL, if they curve it at the young age, when they get to the NHL, they're thinking, I'm pretty sure, is it's going to be what you're saying. if it's a clean hit, I'm not looking to fight. I don't care what they used to do, you know, but I grew up in an era where these young kids are saying where, you know, we didn't preach fighting. Fighting wasn't a big thing, even after a clean hit.
Yes, and I think that's the thing. Like, I think that, as you know, Derek, like, how do you change behavior? You change it over time. You can't always change it right away. And, like, I think we know a lot more about concussions and brains, that you have to kind of limit it a little bit, not let it be as big as it was. Like, you know, I remember when I was a kid picking up my first hockey magazine with all the stats. I'm a real old man. In, like, 1978, and you'd look at the penalty minute totals, and like the old Western Hockey League, you'd see five guys on every team over 400 minutes. Like, it was crazy. And you know, so, you know, what we know now, we didn't know then. So we're more careful about what we allow to happen. Like I still want it to be a tough game. I want the playoffs to be tough. I like a good hit. I'm not against a good fight. But I think there have to be situations where we say this is okay, and there have to be situations where we say this isn't okay. And I think that's what we're trying to move to do.
Now, looking at where the Nashville Predators are, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not, but, hell, they are doing a hell of a job trying to get there with these young guys. As you look at it, and there may have been a thought before they made all these trades or whatnot at maybe this is not the right thing to do. But now that they have done it, do you believe that that was the right thing for David Poile to do, to make those trades and then allow these young guys to sort of prove to him whether they belong or not?
You know, Derek, I think the way that the team has kind of gone since then, like, there's going to be some bad nights, like that night in New York the other night. Like, when you're depending on young players, you know, that's going to happen to you periodically. But I would probably think that on some level, Poile's probably looking at this and saying maybe we should have considered it sooner. Just because those young players have put new life into the lineup. You know, I think, like, this is a really difficult league to win in. And I think, like, the math is still good for you guys, but I just think it's going to be really hard. Like, you guys basically have no room for error. And I think in a lot of ways, the younger your roster gets, the more errors you make. Not that it's necessarily a terrible thing. It's just because of inexperience. And so I think it's a big challenge, but I think it's rejuvenated your group. Like, you know, Evangelista, I heard a good story about him this week, that he was only supposed to get one game. He was supposed to get one game, then he was supposed to go back to Milwaukee, I heard. And, you know, after he played the one game, they looked at him and they said, you know, that was really good. You're going to stick a little bit. And so I think that some of these kids have kind of surprised them a bit, but it's obvious to me that they've breathed some new life. Like, sometimes maybe you get a little bit stale, and I think that's kind of what happened. With 2020 hindsight, it's easier to see that. Like, you look at what Novak's done, you look at what Evangelista's done, you look at what some of these guys have done, they really breathe some new life into your lineup.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, let's go to the other perspective. I mean, you're watching day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
Say the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames, who they're loading up. Their expectation is to make the playoffs. They can't both make it. It doesn't look like. And we saw Winnipeg come through here, and they had mostly a healthy lineup. Nashville was playing without Ryan McDonagh. Then they lost Roman Josi at the end of the first period, and they still fought their way, took the game to overtime. So the perspective on both teams and the expectations and the energy around both teams seems so different.
Well, I think there's truth to that. Like, if Winnipeg was to miss the playoffs, I think it would be a disaster there. If Calgary misses the playoffs, it's really bad for them. If you guys don't make the playoffs, if you guys miss it, I don't think it's great by any means, but I think it will be looked at differently. I think that, you know, you guys will be looked at as a team that kind of waved the white flag a little bit and still competed. I think you're going to feel better about where you're going than one of those two teams would if they miss the playoffs. And, you know, obviously, You mentioned all the injuries that day and Yossi getting hurt that day. You still won, but
I think we may have lost Elliot. We'll try and resolve some of his phone issues.
Did we lose Elliot or did we lose us? That's the.
We may have lost us.
We lost Elliot.
Oh, man, he was just getting into the meat of it. Yes.
We'll get back to Elliot coming up next. We'll take a quick break.
Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming back at you here from Central Barbecue here in Hillsborough Village on 102.5 The Game. We were being joined by Elliot Friedman. Elliot, we lost you. You were talking about the recent Predators-Jets game where Roman Josi was lost after the first period. Nashville still nearly hung on and beat the Jets in overtime. For example, instead of the Predators in the 3-on-3 having Tyson Barrie and Roman Josi, they had Jeremy Lausanne in there, who I don't think has played 3-on-3 probably his entire career in an overtime, but they had nobody else to put in there. Just an example of Nashville trying to get by without so many important guys in there. So the Jets held on and got a very big win, but it was a struggle for them.
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad I came back, if for no other reason than to listen to a few bars of Def Leppard.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
You know, I like that, but that's the thing. I think that, you know, I've always felt that one player's injury is another player's opportunity, right? And, you know, maybe that's a new role for Lausanne. It's not used to what he's doing, but there's going to be times you're going to need it to put him in a big situation, and you bet, you got to hope he's going to be used to it. And that one didn't work, and it was a tough loss for the Predators. But this is going to happen. Like, I think the thing that is really good for Nashville right now, even if this doesn't work out in a playoff berth, is you've got guys who are your future who have never played in games this meaningful, and they're doing it. And they're playing big roles in games that are meaningful. And I think in the long run, that's going to make your team better and them better.
Was Tommy Novak ever on your radar? Because it's just interesting how he has jumped up. He was not probably listed among their top prospects over the last couple of years, really. But here he is with 33 points in 38 games.
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't. I'm supposed to be this brilliant hockey commentator, and he was definitely not on my radar. And credit to him. Like, he's made a major difference there. I think the other guy this year who's changed a lot of people's opinions of him is Cody Glass. You know, like, that was a trade. You go back and you look at that trade, that three-way deal between Nashville, Vegas, and Philadelphia. You've got Ryan Ellis, who's probably never going to play again. You've got Nolan Patrick, who, and that's really unfortunate, obviously. And you've got Nolan Patrick, who also, unfortunately, is probably never going to play again. And then you've got Cody Glass. And, you know, Glass is kind of the last man standing. And I think there were a lot of people who were really unsure of what you guys were getting there. And I think you guys were kind of unsure about what you were getting there. And now, you know, you're looking at him and you're saying, there's a player here. And, you know, he was a guy who was really hard on himself. And I think he started to find his way. Like, I think that's, look, I'm sure everybody in Nashville is disappointed about this season. And I understand that. But it's over. Like, it's happened, right? Like, now what you've got to do is say, okay, we're in a race. It's a big challenge, but we're still in the race. And we've also got to make sure that Novak and Evangelista and Glass and all these guys keep playing important minutes so that they understand what it takes. So you almost have to turn the page and say, yeah, I know everybody was disappointed, but we can still make some chicken salad out of this chicken bleep, if you will. And I think that is what you guys are trying to do here, and I think you're accomplishing that.
Last thing for you, Elliot, that you've got two straight home games with the Kraken here, mm-hmm. which is a really interesting scheduling quirk. We know why they're doing it with the travel and everything like that, but I don't recall this ever happening in Nashville before, so this will be fun to watch. It's like a little mini playoff series, but the Kraken have been such a compelling team. The way that they have built their roster, a lot of depth, a lot of guys with that 12 to 15 goals, couple of guys having great seasons. Obviously, there's the Ellie Tolvanen factor that everybody's going to be honed in on tonight. But you have to commend the Kraken for how they've been able to get it done this year.
Well, first of all, I like this schedule quirk. I think it's a really good way to do things. I wish they'd do it more often. I like the cut down on travel. I think the players like the cut down on travel. And also, I like the little bit of extra hate that two games back-to-back can do. I think Seattle deserves a lot of credit this year. I think we thought they'd be improved. I don't know if we thought they'd be this improved. Last year, they were kind of slow and kind of predictable. This year, they're faster, and that's made them a lot different. And they've got better offensive players. You know, the Tolvanen thing is interesting. He'll have money on the board in this one, right? So, you know, it'll be an interesting night to see how he is and how the Predators are against them.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts Podcast. Appreciate you for joining us as always. We'll chat with you next week.
Go back to the meat, guys. Go back to the meat.
Can't wait for the next commercial break.
We will be sending some your way. Don't you worry.
I appreciate
you, Elliot. Thank you.
I appreciate it.